The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Shelley Gardner in studio and Autumn Warren, two of the smartest women I have ever known, actually, in my life. I'm very lucky. I get to hang out with a lot of really bright women. And Danny, you're lucky too, because you get to sit here with all of us today in your control room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why, of course.
Did you see how Lexi and I are both wearing plaid today?
Yeah. Not planned.
It's not planned either.
We just think exactly the same.
She's got the classic blue and green, and I've got the classic black and red. So, yep. Yeah, so it's back to school, Tay.
Well, I have to say, you look great, ladies. Yes.
Well, thank you. So, you know, here's a funny story. So this morning when I got up, what do you think is the first thing? Okay, I made my bed because I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my bed first.
Right.
Went in, went pee, and then I went to down the hallway, you know, to go, start getting the dogs out and do my stuff. And I got down. I'm like, uh-oh. Zeus got off the link, or off the chain. You know, he has this area at night that I have to hook him up to so that he doesn't wander all over the house and fall and get hurt, because he's real old and my living room is sunken. And then my game room is sunken too. They're at the same. So I have like a two-level house, you know, in my main part of my house. Anyway, so I'm like, oh man, I know he probably peed somewhere. So I start looking for it. I feel the pee first on my feet, and then I start hopping around, and I hopped right into a big turd on my foot. My right foot, a mushy, there's no other feeling like it. I knew immediately it was a turd, okay? And I'm like, oh man. So I hopped. Good thing I hopped on my left, good thing the poop was on my right, because that's my bad hamstring, and I don't think I could have made it all the way to the kitchen hopping on that hamstring. And so, anyway, put my foot up in the bathroom. So I actually hopped to the bathroom, not the kitchen, because I washed my foot off first in the bathroom sink and then walked into the kitchen and then started getting my stuff to clean everything up. But it's like, oh, my God.
Stepping in poo, that's the worst.
It's just crazy.
Thank goodness you made the bed.
Yeah,
it balanced things out.
Exactly. But you know what, though? I think that making the bed made me have more. Now, I don't normally lose it on stuff like that anyway. No, it's just, it is what it is. You don't lose your mind, especially it's an old animal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he lifted his leg and peed right in front of me after I just said don't pee on that, you know?
And it's all water soluble, Bernadette.
Exactly. Now, Pretzel will do that. Pretzel will do that. And my brand new couch, one of the cats,
no.
I believe it's Dean. Peed on one of the pillows over the weekend. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
My house is like a circus. But, you know, I took it apart and I washed each one separately, let it air dry, and everything's good. And I had a sit down with Dean. And I said, listen, Dean.
Listen up here.
Dean, the pee machine. This is getting very serious. You're getting ready to go to prison for a long time if you don't knock it off. And you know I have my cat prison. So anyway.
See if he received that information, Bernadette.
Well, I've got to go get more feel away, because that product really does help.
Really?
I'm not getting paid for this, although I wouldn't turn it down.
What product is it?
It's a product that releases it's kind of like what's the name of those really awful things that you plug? Oh, plugins?
Yeah.
that release all the bad toxins and everything, or at least that's what I've read.
Yeah.
But it's like a plug-in, except it's a little glass bottle. I don't know how, I'm not describing it very well. It's like this, like screwing a glass bottle into a plug-in, and it's got a liquid pheromone that releases into the air that's a replica of a mama's milk, a mama's pheromones when they're nursing, and it calms the cats down at any age. So
it's just cats.
Yeah, it's just a cat thing. So I don't think it affects dogs. But anyway, I have it in one room. I need to get some more of it. I think that'll hopefully calm him down so he does not pee on the couch again. Because, I'm just so glad he didn't pee on one of the big cushions. I might have lost it then a little bit because I wouldn't know how to clean it. But anyway, we have a really great show coming up today. We really do. We've got Dr. Joel Fuhrman. He is a board-certified family physician, six-time New York Times best-selling author, and internationally recognized expert on nutrition and natural healing who specializes in preventing and reversing disease through nutritional methods. Dr. Fuhrman is the one that coined the term nutritarian to describe his eating style. I'm thrilled to have him on the show. His new book, Fast Food Genocide, is amazing. We have never been so sick as a country, and I'm just now starting to figure out why more and more every day, putting the pieces together. And that's why I love having people like Autumn Warren in studio and Shelley Gardner. These are women that do a lot of homework and research because they have children just like a lot of us do, and we want them to have the best and healthiest life that they can possibly have. And Autumn Warren is the inventor of Ether Elixir, which is one of my go-to natural probiotic drinks to keep me well and my daughter. You know, Nia actually, this is so cute. True story, yesterday morning, she woke up, and we had college students in town all weekend long. We were at the OU-Texas game, and I'm going to talk about that here in a second. I don't want to run out of time because this is a really important subject I want to get to today. But she said, Mom, I woke up in the middle of the night around, well, like 5 in the morning. I wasn't feeling good, so I went to the refrigerator, and I got one of the elixirs, and then I made some tea with honey, and I went back into bed. I didn't want to wake you up. But isn't that great that she knows? Because it does make her feel better. It absolutely does.
So sweet.
And I feel accomplished as a mother to have her have done that, you know, from just listening to me, you know, talk about health and fitness all the time. But so I'm at the Texas OU game at the fair. I had like three other college students, my daughter's boyfriend and friends that came down from Oklahoma, and we went to the fair, and you know, I had some of that fried chicken noodle soup, by the way.
Was it good?
And it was good, but you know,
I want to know how you fry chicken noodle soup.
Well, here's how you do it. You put a lot of crackers in it, and you call it. I didn't get to talk to the people. Actually, the people that developed the recipe are old friends of mine. Like they used to, one of them used to work as an executive at Wingstop. And so, and the other one, Sherry, it's Chris and Sherry Howard. And they have a pie place, and they do the thing at the fair almost every year. But this year they won. But anyway, I saw the whole family. The whole family was there. Chris and Sherry weren't there, but all the kids were. And they're a Mormon family, so they have like a ton of kids. And they were all working the counter, and they recognized me immediately, even though I hadn't seen them in several years. But anyway, yeah, but they had it. They made it like it tasted like chicken noodle soup, but it was basically kind of like a matzo ball kind of feel with like some chicken noodle soup on the side. It was very well presented. I know Sherry had something to do with that because she's just kind of talented like that. Anyway, but it was kind of fun. But here's what happened. So this was after the game. Okay. And we were walking around the fair waiting to meet Cody's mom. She was at the game. And so Vinny said, can you hold this for me, Mom? And she pulled something out of her purse, and I stuck it in my purse and didn't even read it until later. And what it was is, it says, we've seen your future, and it's a Pedialyte little card with a sample included. I'm going to put it on Facebook after the show because I just can't even believe how criminal this is, at least in my mind. This is, so they give it away to... They basically on Twitter and by giving these samples away of Pedialyte, and Lexi helped me out here because she says, yes, it's rampant and among basically college students. They know
it's a hangover
you go out
cure.
And you get hammered and then you take Pedialyte the next day. The problem is, okay, so not only is drinking that much alcohol good for you, and certainly we don't need big companies in America like Pedialyte encouraging our college students to go out and drink more than they already do and then giving them a fix for it. This fix has sucralose in it. It's got red dye number 40. It's got blue dye number 1. All these things that are bad for their gut bacteria and their brain. And it makes me absolutely freaking livid that they are passing these out at a college game knowing exactly what they're doing. And then it gets better. The 5-hour energy drink too, where you pop the shots. They brought in the big, you know, semi with all this fancy, you know, big graphics to, you know, make everybody notice them and making it fun with pretty girls and handing out as their prize 5-hour energy drinks, which also destroy their gut bacteria because it's got sucralose in it. and I'm going to stop and let you, Autumn Warren, well, the probiotic gut bacteria expert over here, sure. tell us what's wrong with all that.
Well, what's wrong for it, number one, is that Pedialyte's intended use is for babies.
Right, and they give this to babies. And then they wonder, oh, gee, I wonder if you're throwing up and we give you Pedialyte, which will destroy half of your good gut bacteria, when you go to the doctor, why your ear infection's out of control because you've just destroyed half of your good gut bacteria.
Yeah.
Oh, and what a coinky dink. We have to put you on antibiotics again every 6 weeks. It's like a make work project.
Exactly.
And it's
it
wrong. And I'm not going to stop. Like, I'm going to call them out until they quit putting this crap into babies' products. And that's my baby. You know what? She's still my baby. I'm sorry. She's in college and she doesn't need to be drinking too much. And she certainly doesn't be needing to put this crap
Let's
in
put
her body.
Put sugar in it.
Put a little sugar in it. Or, like you said, drink some coconut water.
Right.
We're going to cover it in depth. Believe me, we are. Stay tuned, everyone. We have an incredible guest coming up, Dr. Joel Fuhrman. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hey, Bernadette here. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where everything was gluten-free? Well, now there is. It's the Gluten-Free Expo, and it's coming to Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. Bring the whole family, take free classes, buy hard-to-find items, and get coupons and samples of hundreds of delicious gluten-free products. Get your tickets online at gfexpo.com. That's gfexpo.com or at the door. Mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. The Gluten-Free Expo at Dallas Market Hall on October 28th and 29th. And don't forget, mention One Life Radio for $5 off each ticket. See you there. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and our very special guest today, Dr. Joel Fuhrman. He is a board-certified family physician, six-time New York Times best-selling author, and internationally recognized expert on nutrition and natural healing. He specializes in preventing and reversing disease through nutritional methods. Dr. Fuhrman is the one who coined the term nutritarian to describe his eating style, which is built around a diet of nutrient-dense, plant-rich foods. For over 25 years, Dr. Fuhrman has showed that it is possible to achieve sustainable weight loss and reverse heart disease, diabetes, and many other illnesses using smart nutrition. In his medical practice and through his books and television specials, he continues to bring this life-saving message to hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And you can find Dr. Fuhrman at his website at drfuhrman.com. That's D-R-F-U-H-R-M-A-N. Today, we are talking about his most recent book, Fast Food Genocide. I absolutely am in love with you, Dr. Fuhrman. Thank you so much for writing this book and trying to help all of us, you know, navigate through all of this
what do I want to say? All of this information out there, and a lot of it not true, you know? And so your book really brings clarification, and quite comprehensively, I might add, to so many people searching for answers.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm really excited about this book, and I just feel it's so needed by, like, if all Americans, can you imagine if all Americans read this book, how we could change poverty and tragedy and strokes and cancers and heart disease, and just so much could change if people really knew how much help people are just dying needlessly, and so much suffering is occurring from improper eating. It's just a horror.
It really is. And that's the part that bothers me. You know, I lay in bed at night and I think about all the suffering of the children more than anyone, and the poor food that they're being fed, and just all the deception, you know, in the food industry. And so fast food genocide, really, a lot of people might think it's a shocking title for the book, but I think it's very suiting. I really, really do. But what inspired you to write this particular book?
You know, it seems like when I'm writing an earlier book and I'm doing research, I might put in a 700 references, medical references in a certain book I'm writing, like The End of Heart Disease or The End of Diabetes. My book Eat to Live has over 1,000 references. But to put 500 references, you probably have to review about 10,000 research articles to pick out the 1,000 most important. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm researching my works, I say, oh, this research is so critical, it's so valuable, but it's not appropriate for this book. I got to write a book that really brings together this
right.
body of research that nobody's talking about. So I had it in my back burner. I had it in my head. I just got to write a book on how people living in urban communities don't just have double the heart attack rate.
Right.
They have 10 times the heart attack rate of mm-hmm. people who are exposed to, you know, more healthier foods. The people people living who are, you know, in those areas where they are called food deserts have 7 times the risk of having stroke before the age of 45. And we're putting people in these nursing homes, young people in their 30s and 40s who can't take care of their lives. I mean, the point of the destruction of lives that is occurring, nobody has a indication of what the science is actually showing, what the data and the statistics are. And I just had this, knew that this had to come out, and now I've been putting together and compiling this research for a long time about this, but for years, maybe 5 years.
You know? Yeah, and you talk about the food deserts. There's a part in your book, I'm trying to pull it up, I read it, a fabulous book, so much information about the food deserts, and there was a zip code thing in there. I'm going to find it while you talk, but it was so fascinating that you can actually identify by zip code where the biggest food deserts are, and the ramifications of all that as far as heart disease and early death and diabetes, and I could go on and on, you know, like children suffering, like we talked about.
Right. And, you know, I think that our population and a lot of people are aware today that eating junk food and candy and processed food and fast food, I think they know it increases obesity and heart disease and cancer and dementia. I think they recognize that. But I think that they don't really know how it damages the human brain. And
mm-hmm.
the human brain is so fragile to the effects of these fast foods and processed foods, so much so that even 2 servings of commercial baked goods a week, like a bagel and a croissant or a donut and a cookie, just 2 servings a week, increases your risk of developing depression by 51%. And nobody's relating these foods to autism and mental illness and bipolar and schizophrenia and anxiety. Mm. And what I'm saying here, that it's not just destructive to the body, it's destructive to the brain, it's destructive to human intelligence, it also creates people's inability to concentrate in school, and it impairs their thinking skills, and they can't make logical, intelligent decisions, which means they can't make logical, intelligent decisions about their food choices because it takes over part of their brain and makes them constantly crave these foods and have to overeat just to feel okay. So with this brain stimulation from these concentrated calories and fast foods, people lose all desire to consume natural foods that contain real nutrients,
right?
And more subtle flavorings, and the protective phytochemicals and the nutrients of the brain. So it's like it's being like they're hooked to cocaine.
Absolutely.
And one, you know, so it's just incredible. And one more, if I could just say one more fact that people have no concept of this, that the link between candy and junk food and criminal behavior and drug abuse.
Oh, yeah.
Words, it has to be recognized.
Absolutely. That's addressed in your book. I thought it was so fascinating, Dr. Furman.
Right. And also with this way of blaming people who have different color skins on their outcomes is a form of bigotry and racism, because it's all about food availability and social deprivation. And that I've shown in the book that, for example, after the black Americans were freed after the Civil War, and they had access to vegetation and vegetables. They had more centenarians, more people living to 100 among the black population than among the white population.
Right.
And they had more, and they pursued education successfully. And so now they're, now in medical school, we're taught that, you know, black Americans have higher risks of prostate cancer, double the risk of diabetes and obesity. All these things are taught to us. It was almost as if it's like a racial thing, that there's some racial weaknesses here. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying absolutely not, that this is not genetic weaknesses. This is food exposure,
absolutely,
food availability, and we have to teach people. And everybody in America deserves to have an equal opportunity to have a happy and healthy life.
Absolutely.
And it's not occurring, and we got to know, we got to change things.
Well, you know, the first pizza Patron that I opened many, many years ago was in a really bad part of town, and they, you know, they, there was no, and I can tell you, you know, one of the reasons that, that you know, restaurants don't want to go into some of those areas is because the crime rate is so high, but the crime rate is high because they're not getting fed properly. And there's definitely a connection, a cycle to it. Absolutely. You know, you when we were speaking earlier about we were talking about obesity and diabetes by zip code. It was the YPLL, years of potential life lost, based on what you eat, right?
Right, exactly.
And so let me. There's so much here. Oh my gosh, this book is so fascinating. It really is. You just put together like just an incredible book, Dr. Furman. So let's talk about fast food and how addictive it is, and how sugarizing all foods to reach the bliss point that maximizes pleasure and purchases that leads to gradual deadening of the taste buds. Can we talk about that?
Sure. I think if people really were educated, and you know that I'm a big advocate that it should be reading, writing, arithmetic, and nutritional science. It's not just something the medical profession has to learn. It's something that all, our entire population has to be taught this from grade school on up. They're taught about, you know, say no to drugs. They're talking about the harmful effects of cigarettes. They're not talking about that grilled meats and processed meats are a class one carcinogen in the same category as asbestos and cigarette smoking by the World Health Organization. They're not taught that these high sweet foods, like you're saying, are just as addicting and are addicting and damages with so many people addicted to sweets. It causes many more deaths than illegal drugs and legal drugs. The point here is what I'm saying is that, and as you're intonating, that when you have diet, when you have these high sugary foods, including maple syrup and honey, they rush into the calories are absorbed into the bloodstream so rapidly, and the spike in fat storage hormones and the spike in dopamine and neurotransmitters in the brain that leads to cravings and impaired thinking and food addiction, which means people are no longer losing control of how many can, no longer in touch with the amount of calories they need. They become calorie consuming machines, and it drives them into obesity the same way as if you fed a rat. Or a cat, or any kind of fed animal, or squirrel. You feed them these processed foods, they rapidly become obese, and they cut their lifespan in half. Guilty. It's just biological. You know, it's just biology. Mm-hmm. The brain is not used. It's brain stimulation. When you give the bird cocaine, it'll stop eating food. It'll starve itself to death, and it'll just eat cocaine until it takes this cocaine instead of the food until it's skeletonized. And it gets heightened. The pleasure is heightened. The same thing is with these sweets and concentrated calories. The brain goes for these concentrated stimulation, and it stops eating everything else. And it'll just keep eating these processed foods until it cuts its lifespan short. But worse than that is that, of course, you know, we're saying here that candy and sweets is linked to criminal behavior and drug abuse. It's the gateway drug that has to be recognized.
Wow.
It doesn't just lower school performance and intelligence. It also increases later life drug use and crime more than any other variable study. That I'm saying is that the consumption of candy and junk food and how much you eat as a proportion of total calories is a more powerful variable affecting later life criminal behavior and drug use compared to lack of parents, lack of good parenting, poor parenting, poverty, social isolation, and almost any other parameters studied. And right now in our federal prisons, we have more than half of the population incarcerated in federal prisons are there for nonviolent related drug use offenses, which is most of those cases are promoted by, of course, these poor diets that essentially make people right to becoming drug addicts.
Right. I mean, it's a fascinating subject. It really is, all of it. And you just answered my question. I was going to ask you, what are some of the most dangerous things a person can eat to destroy their health and accelerate their death? And I guess candy and fast food would be at the top of that list. How about soda and alcohol?
Well, that's right. And I also didn't even mention fried foods. When you fry chicken and you fry French fries and you go to a fast food restaurant and eat fried foods, they're cooking the food in the oil that's been already heated and other foods were cooked in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you cook oil over time to that temperature and to that degree, you're forming rancid compounds that are carcinogenic and mutagenic and teratogenic. What I'm saying right now is that you could say, well, I'll just have French fries in moderation. One serving a week of commercially French fries is linked to a 26% increased risk of breast cancer.
Oh,
and we're talking about moderation is still extremely dangerous. And we're talking here that we're showing that it causes damage to our children and the future generations. In other words, when you eat these foods like you're talking about, right? We're talking about sweets and grilled meats and processed meats and barbecue and fried and heavily fried foods, especially in the south of the United States, where you eat all these mm-hmm. fried foods.
Yeah, it's huge here.
It damages
here.
Your children and even your grandchildren are affected. The genes are affected. You could pass on to future generations.
Wow. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. Dr. Furman, how can our listeners get the book and learn more?
Well, that would be great if they can. It comes out tomorrow.
Oh.
They can pre-order it on Amazon.
Okay.
.com. And if they they can buy it anywhere. They can go to my website, drfurman.com. But right now, most people are buying it on Amazon because you can pre-order it. They get it to them the quickest. But
nice.
Yeah, I'm really super, super excited about this. And I'm on Dr. Oz talking about it tomorrow as well.
Oh, wow. I thank you so much. I just got goosebumps. I'm so excited to have you on the show. And I'm most excited about you trying to educate America. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
All right. That's Dr. Joel Furman. You can find his book, Fast Food Genocide, at Amazon.com or drfurman.com. Order it today. You want to start reading this. You want to save you and your children's lives. I mean it. You need to get it. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Are you tired of ho-hum parties? Do people yawn in your backyard? Need to draw attention to your business or set the mood at your restaurant? Lights aren't just for Christmas. They make all your outdoor spaces and celebrations sparkle. Our customers have found the perfect lights to add twinkle to their special occasions for over 10 years. See everything you'll need to light up your life at Christmas Light Source. You can find us at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Well, I started out down a dirty road.
Thank you, Dan the Man, for a little Tom Petty. Welcome back to One Life Radio. Oh my gosh, it reminds me of my friend Sasso. He like sings everything. Like, how you doing today? We just have like this thing that we do. But anyway, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I have Autumn Warren in studio and Shelley Gardner. Autumn Warren is the inventor of Ether Elixir and a new dear friend of mine. I love having her on the show. She's brilliant. And I like the way she swears with me and tells it like it is off the air, of course. And Shelley Gardner. Gardner. She's also a dear friend, owner of Christmas Light Source, which has been online since 2015. She is a real estate investor and a Renaissance woman. She's an engineer. She doesn't even put that. She's so humble, she doesn't even put it. She's, in fact, one of the first engineers, women engineers, one of the pioneers, really.
I'm not sure about that, Bernadette. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Well, I did feel there were very few of us at the time, so I did feel a little bit like a trailblazer.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a trailblazer. So, you know, we're going to start out talking with Autumn Warren about meditation and the power of meditation and how to do it, because I think a lot of people don't really understand really how easy it is to start.
Yeah, it's so simple. I've got people that come up to me all the time and they'll say, oh, well, I tried meditating once and, you know, I couldn't get my thoughts to stop, or I couldn't get my brain to turn off, or what, you know. Then there, a lot of these are really intelligent people, people that really do take a strong interest in their health and their physical well-being and their mental well-being. And so, you know, for them to just give up after trying once on their own seemed a little bit shocking to me. And I've been teaching meditation classes now for about 3 years. And really, my first class is where a lot of light bulbs turn on, and I just want more people to have that information and how easy it is.
And you do free classes in your yoga studio. I mean, not in your yoga studio, in your warehouse.
I do.
In Fort Worth.
Yeah, I tell my employees that's their health plan between the free kefir and the free yoga classes.
My gosh, especially in these times that we're in right now. I mean, so much is happening all the time. So many attacks, so much violence. So much mental illness, truly, so much cancer. People are walking around very scared. I talked with a family member of mine last night, and they were just so wigged out, full of anxiety. I'm like, you've got to breathe. You've got to meditate. Get up before the kids. Go outside. Right. Sit quietly for 5 minutes. Repeat a mantra. Do whatever you have to do. And then after you're done with that, go jog down the road for a mile and come back with the dog or something. Get yourself in a better place.
That's exactly it. And that's the thing. It doesn't take that much time at all. 5 minutes a day for 8 weeks has been shown to physically alter your brain space, to actually change the physicality of your brain. It gives you more gray matter in your brain. It lowers the transmission of thought. It does all kinds of stuff. It lowers the cortisol in your body. It increases serotonin. It has such a huge effect. And that's 5 minutes a day. And I mean, in my opinion, one thing I'm always telling people is everybody pisses off 5 minutes a day.
Oh, for sure. on Facebook, number
right.
one, or social media.
Right. If someone's truly clocking how much time I waste every day, I mean, I'm sure I'd be horrified. But 5 minutes, and just start out with the 5 minutes. And all you're doing is you're simply going to find somewhere, you're going to sit comfortably and focus on your breath coming and going. So essentially, when you breathe in, it's really easy for most people when they breathe in. When you breathe in, you're just feeling the breath going in through your nostrils.
Danny, are you in there breathing? Have you ever meditated, Danny?
I think
it would serve you well, and you could do it in the radio studio every day. Pick a time.
No. Yeah, for sure.
What do you mean?
5 minutes.
I daydream. That's my meditation.
No, you can't daydream. That's the difference. A lot of people will come up to me and they'll be like, you know, I'll do some longer meditations. They're like, oh, I saw these white birds and they were ensconcing the sun. And I'm like, you're not meditating. You are fantasizing. I'm like, when you're meditating, there is nothing. Like, that's the whole idea of it. You're gaining
space. And how do you
space.
Get there, though? I know that the only way I could ever meditate, that's why I got into floating. And the first time I floated, it changed my life. I was like, oh my God, this is the first time. This is what meditation feels like. It's like meditation for dummies. I cannot wait to get my float tank up and running in my house as soon as Thomas gets done with this project that he's on. That's one of the first things on the list, because meditation is life-changing.
It is. Well, so all you have to do, the thoughts are going to come. The idea is you just don't follow the chain of association. So when you're meditating, you're focusing on your breath, the inhale and then the exhale. You can just inhale, pretend like you're filling up a balloon in your belly, and then when you get to the top of the breath, then slowly squeeze all the air out of that balloon and out, and you can just keep going with that kind of imagery. Well, what's going to happen, most people will notice on the exhale, your mind starts to wander. It'll be something as simple as this. You'll think, oh, it smells like oranges. Okay, so that's a totally normal thought to have in the middle of a meditation. Where you go wrong is instead of going and focusing now on your inhale, Some people will then continue. Oranges. Oh, God, I love orange juice. You know what? After this meditation, I'm going to get a glass of orange juice. I wonder, do I still have that orange juice? You know what? I need to go to the store. I should go to the store. These are the other things I need from the store. And before you know it, like 3 minutes has gone by.
Right.
So the real goal is to train your brain to not follow that association, to acknowledge the thought, and then to go back to focusing on your breath. And the more practice you have, just like anything else, the easier it becomes.
And so what if you've got a bad back and you can't sit like in a typical meditation
sit in a chair
pose, just sit in a chair or lay on the floor?
You really don't want to lay down because you do want your body to be active. The idea is to train your brain to be calmer, for the brain waves to move slower while you are in an active position. There are some meditations or some imagery or some illustrations that you would want to do laying down. But for the most part, for the average meditation, to lower anxiety and stress and to like heighten your mental creativity or your clarity of thought, you want to be sitting up.
Well, Shelley has a
question. You mentioned that 5 minutes has this great benefit. Is there a more, I mean, if 5 minutes is so good, then maybe longer, is that better?
Oh, sure. Longer is better. But the problem is when people start out with longer, they get frustrated and they think they can't do it.
So start small.
Start small. Yeah. And then, like, I'll meditate. I meditate for about an hour in the morning and about 45 minutes at night, almost every single day.
How long did it take you to work up to that?
It took me maybe 4 years to get to that point. But I, you know, I'm pretty strict with myself, and I get up before my kids in the morning and I have a time. That's the other thing I tell people. Pick a time and stick to it.
Like a ridiculous time, like 6:01.
Yeah, be weird about it.
Yeah,
be like, this is my time and nobody is going to mess with me during this time, and just do it every day, like no matter what happens. And my kids know not to bother me during it. And if they do bother me, it's for something important. And I also had a great teacher one time that said, you know, interruptions during meditation aren't a bad thing, because that's how life comes at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life comes at you. Want to try to be in a more meditative state throughout all of your life, and life is going to pepper things at you. So while you're meditating, you know, if you've got a kid banging on the door because, you know, a dog comes and sits in your lap or whatever, don't lose it or think that you're not doing the right thing. The goal would be to then go back to focusing on your breath again and bring yourself out of it, just like you would need to do in any sort of life circumstance.
Well, yeah. And have you researched like the history of meditation? Because I think we're losing that in our culture. Wasn't that a an integral part of societies up until just not too long ago, or in other countries today?
It definitely is. And a lot of them you'll find are religion based, you know, so it's a form of prayer in a lot of religions. And a lot of the Eastern philosophies will have a lot of mantra related. So you're chanting something in Sanskrit, which are a lot of the meditations that I'll do aside from just a mindfulness meditation. But it's, again, instead of focusing on your breath, you're focusing on words.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same with Christian religion. And a lot of the hymns that you sing or the prayers that you say, it's repetitive. So any sort of repetitive thing that you're saying over and over, singing over and over again, that technically is a form of meditation, because your mind is focusing on one thing and ignoring the peripheral.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and the yoga science proves it, that how it transforms your energy. Yoga and brain health, the practice of yoga, and I'm reading this out of the Wellbeing Journal, the practice of yoga has been a part of the discipline of millions of people throughout the world for many centuries. We know that yoga is a remarkable practice for not only the body, the mind, and emotions, but now researchers have found that specific evidence as to how it is good for the brain health as well, and it goes on and on. But yoga, I always met yoga, meditation, they're kind of... They're very similar, but they're different too.
Yeah, of course they are.
Or you incorporate, at least I do when I do yoga, I incorporate periods of meditation during the practice.
Yes, for sure you do. I mean, especially if you're holding any poses. The type of yoga I do is a primarily meditation type of yoga called Kundalini. But even in a regular Hatha yoga studio, you've got the relaxation at the end where you're just focusing on your breath and that sort of thing. So it's kind of fostering the mind and the body connection. And I like to take it a step further, saying you're fostering the mind, the body, and the spiritual connection.
And it's very cleansing. I remember I've told this story on the air before. I'll knock it out real quick. Patty DiBernardo, who was my first yoga instructor, she would come to my home because I'd go to a studio and I would feel dumb because I didn't know where to begin. Anyway, so she would come to my house because she's a yoga teacher and a dear friend. And she said, "Now, Bernadette, you may cry. You may cry in the middle of the session or at the end, especially at the end, like really, really cry." I'm like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I'm not going to cry." But I'm telling you, I'm just saying, when I was done, I was laying on the mat and I was crying like a baby because it releases so much trauma.
It does.
It really does. It releases so much negative energy and just, I don't know, it just makes you feel like, I don't even know, if it, you know, what the scientific explanation
is.
The chakra system. Okay, sister. Right. See, I knew you'd know the answer, though. Well, there you go.
Something to pepper in the end
so
of the segment.
I loosened up my chakra.
That's right.
Okay, all right. All right, we've got a great show continuing on. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
I do wish I could fly. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Shelley Gardner in studio and Autumn Warren. You know that you can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and Apple Podcasts. You can go to our website, onelifradio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, especially on a show like today with Dr. Joel Fuhrman, talking about how we need to clean up our act and talking about the food industry and all the junk that's out there. I'm very proud of the sponsors that I have. I really, really am. Sun Warrior, they make such a great product. It's a plant-based protein with all the essential amino acids. They have the Illuminate, they have the Soul Good bars, they have the vitamins. My daughter, Vincenza, takes the vitamins. They're made with real raw food. And especially in college, with the stuff she's getting bombarded with now more than ever, I really love the fact that she takes her Sun Warrior vitamins for her every single day. Crazy Water, you need to drink good water with minerals. It's a great choice. It's here in Texas, and you can also get it shipped to you, I believe, on Amazon.com. Charlotte's Web, CW Hemp. I took a couple of drops this morning. I love that stuff. It puts me, you talk about, you know, meditation. You were talking about that earlier, Autumn, and I have to tell you, when I take my CBD oil, I feel whole. Like, I feel like a calm, different person with the cannabidiol that is feeding my endocannabinoid system. And people are like, what is she talking about? It's very real. And that's why the hemp extract has become so popular, because it really does make you feel good. You only need a couple of drops. That's it.
And you have to get it from a reputable brand.
You do. Like too. Charlotte's Web, mm-hmm. they are the, you know, the premier brand, in my opinion. And it's made in Colorado. It's 100% organic, and I'm proud to have them. And the International Society of Sports Nutrition as a sponsor of the show. And I guess now's a and Squatty Potty. Squatty Potty is amazing. I still haven't gotten my car to put my Squatty Potty on top and wrap it. We're going to get it wrapped. But I guess this would be a great time to announce that Paleo Magazine is now a brand partner as well with One Life Radio, and I'm extremely proud of that. What a great magazine. We're going to start having a lot of their guests on the show, and you know, they do great stories. They really do. Like one I'm thinking from a couple of months ago, I've been buying the magazine for years, but they talk about what antibiotics are doing to the world. You know, they talk about things that nobody really wants to talk about, and I love the magazine, and I'm proud to have them as a brand partner and a sponsor of One Life Radio. So, you know, stay tuned every day to listen to the show because or listen to the podcast because there's a lot of really good information that we try to put out there every single day. Today we're talking our last segment with Shelly Gardner. She is the owner of Christmas Light Source and she's been online since October of 2005. Yesterday was your 12-year anniversary,
yeah,
October 15th.
Sure. The time has really flown. We just couldn't believe it. It was really exciting.
Wow.
And so yeah, we've been online for 12 years and we're finding right now in the same way that we're talking about our biomes and junk food and the health. We also, you know, we're headed into the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And the attitudes that we set up now can translate into how much we have to recycle or, you know, the minimalist approach to Christmas gifts. You know, I just had a gift sent to my house this morning already. So if you're ahead of the game, we're thinking about Christmas.
You had a Christmas gift sent to your house this morning?
Yes, already.
May I ask who?
Owen wants a little... Oh, wait, and hopefully he's not listening right now.
Oh, it's one that you
yes,
okay, gotcha.
for my son. And there's something I'm afraid it's going to go out of stock. And it's very cool and very fun. But we're looking at right now, a lot of people are pulling out their Christmas lights. They're looking at their decorations. And we're seeing a lot of people recycle them right now. So mm-hmm. My husband and I, we process thousands of pounds of Christmas lights every year. And so what we suggest people do is try to find someone local, a metal recycler, and reclaim, keep these Christmas lights out of the landfills. Contact a local recycler and take them there when you've used them up. And, you know, and then use up your Christmas lights and get the full life out of them and mm-hmm. enjoy them. Don't just leave them in a bucket waiting for Christmas. Pull them out for a party and have fun. But then when you're done with them, go ahead and recycle them.
How do you do that? And I know you're very I love that about your company, that you guys will take back the lights and you handle the recycling yes. for the customer.
Yeah, we did a lot of research. We actually have spoken with the EPA about how this process works, and they actually called us to recycle their Christmas lights in their office building.
Oh, wow.
And what we do is, so we have partnered with a reputable recycler who's not going to burn the plastic off of them, but strip the plastic off of the wires and then responsibly recycle those. So it keeps it out of the landfill.
Is it local?
Yes, it is local. It's in Fort Worth.
Okay.
And what we do is, so we receive the lights, we take them in for recycling, and any money that's made from that process, we convert that we use the money to buy toys and books, and then in the middle of December, we'll make a huge donation to Toys for Tots.
Nice.
So we're taking something that would have ended up in a landfill anyway mm-hmm. and turning it into something useful for children who need that at that time, you know, for those children who are at risk during that time of year mm-hmm. to, you know, books and gifts. Who doesn't? It's
right.
A good thing.
Yeah, no, my mind's wandering on something else. I need to pay attention and meditate.
5 minutes a day.
No, I just for a second went. I was thinking about the fair, M Grills. Okay, so I met the founder of M Grills, who it's a grill like buy it once. Like you only need to buy this grill one time, and they're beautiful. They're handcrafted right here in Dallas, Texas. But I just thought of that and give them a shout out.
Well, and that's perfect. As we head into the holiday season, we have to look at gifts like this. Look at the gifts you purchase your children and say, how long is this going to be used?
Right.
Are we just going to use it only on Christmas morning?
Yep.
Is it something that's going to be long? Because as in our journey in our home is we're taking more and more things out of our house, giving more things away.
We don't save anymore. Our country wants everything right now. They don't save. Do you remember layaway when people used to put stuff on layaway? There's a concept. You actually earn the money and then get it afterwards. And it's so much, I think, I can remember putting stuff on layaway when I was a kid and just taking my babysitting money and paying it off every week and being so excited after like 10 or 12 weeks that I got to like bring it home.
And it means so much more. And, you know, every once in a while I hit the dollar store like everybody else. But do we really need to buy 20? You know, at some point you have to cut a limit. And we all see in our children as they're opening gifts past the second or third gift. It's just not as interesting.
I believe that it pays to buy the best. I always have. I actually gave this dissertation to someone this morning about my jacket. They commented on how cute my jacket was. I said, I've had it for 12 years.
Perfect.
I've had it for 12 years. I paid hundreds of dollars for it, yes. But I've worn it hundreds and hundreds of times, and it still looks brand new. It's that classic piece that you go to, you know, a little black, little trimmed, little nice little French jacket, cut really well. But it's a jacket that you can't replace. Place it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
It's a fine cloth, a fashion item that, and I don't know even where I'm going with this. I don't want to sound.
But it all ties together because you're getting much more use. There's a lot more value in a great jacket.
Right.
Or a great gift for your child, a great robot,
right.
A great book that they're going to love, than 20 things.
Well, buying 20 crappy jackets is my point.
Correct.
20 crappy jackets that don't even look as good that end up in a landfill or somewhere else.
Exactly.
In a garbage
pail. One great jacket, one great purse. And
I don't know about one great purse. Well, now you're getting carried away.
You know, a few good pairs of shoes. Okay, let's not go too far. But
Seriously, though, you're right about that, too. But I bought my last purse at Buffalo Exchange for $29. So, you know, I'm very balanced in that way. But what we were.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is funny we're having this conversation. Yesterday, I spent the day with my kids, and we just dumped all of their toys into this big, like, toy mound in their room. And we had, like, a keep and a giveaway box. But I'm organizing an event in our neighborhood to where kids will I'll bring toys to our house, and for every 10 toys they get one ticket, and then we're just going to lay out all the toys on different blankets in my yard, and then with their they get to essentially donate their old toys and then use the tickets they get to buy new toys,
so
you know, to
idea.
Shop other people's
it'll be
toys.
New to them,
right?
I love it.
That's wonderful.
And it, you know, makes my kids are 6 and 7, and they're, you know, it's like they don't want to get rid of stuff that they really don't play with. But then when I'm like, well, but if you save up all your tickets, you know, you'll have if you give away 10 things, you'll get to look through, you know, your friend's stuff and get one new thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, and people throw things out that they don't need to. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. And then I'd like to read something to our listeners, and then we'll be done with, you know, we're almost out of time. But that purse that I was talking about, guess who peed in that purse? Dean, okay? which is how we open the show. Dean peed in the middle of that purse. I put it in the washer. First I rinsed it out outside with a hose. Then I put it in the washer and just put a teensy-weensy bit of bleach and washed it and let it air dry, and I continued to carry it. I usually change out, you know, a couple of purses a year, so.
I like Dean.
Dean, the dance machine.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to be dancing in prison if he doesn't stop. I've had enough. But I wanted to read the mission statement of Paleo Magazine and just say, welcome aboard. Thank you so much for, you know, understanding the fight we have ahead of us. Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. We are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. I absolutely welcome them with all my heart. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.